Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are thrilled to have with us in studio today, Colleen Fritch. Colleen is an aging advocate, and we are thrilled that she is going to tell us about some ways that we can continue to age in place, to age well, to, you know, just keep moving forward. Colleen, it's great to see you. I haven't seen you forever. How have you been?
It's good to see you, Mo. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. So, Colleen, tell me a little bit about what you have been up to, because I know this has been something that's been in the forefront for you, but you're retired now. You've been retired, I didn't realize, for a couple years.
Yeah. So, my educational background is in human resource management and in community engagement. But for the last two decades, I have been using those skills in aging services. And so I have done my best to learn what the opportunities are of aging and what might be some of the things to be aware of in aging. And then using my community engagement background to have conversations about that and kind of spread the word that we can all do better together.
Absolutely. And I know I've learned so much from you in the past as far as most people do want to stay in their home and age, don't they?
They do. And that works. Here's what I tell people. Somewhere between the age of 75 and 85, you're going to need your bedroom, your bathroom, your kitchen, and your laundry room all on the same level of the house. So if you have that now, that's great. You can stay right there in your home. If you don't, you still have three options. The first is remodel your current home so that you can have all of those things on the same level. The second is move to a home that offers all of those things on the same level. And if neither one of those are good options, that's fine. You just need to accept the fact that you're going to need someone to come in and help you. If your laundry room is down in the basement, as you get older, you're not going to be able to navigate safely those basement stairs. So then just accept the fact that you're going to need a homemaker to come in once in a while and do your laundry. So it's not like it's, oh my goodness, I can't stay in my home. You can. You just need to make some provisions for getting older and getting more frail.
And how do people know what the right decision is for them? I think a lot of times kids are the ones that are pushing parents to do this or to do that. And I don't know that that's really the right thing.
Well, I try and encourage parents. It's amazing to me how many senior citizens I talk to say, I don't want to make my kids angry. Come on.
Oh, dear.
You're their mom and dad.
Yeah.
You've been leading and they've been following, and every once in a while they'd get angry in the past. As long as the older adult has the financial resources and the mental capacity to make decisions on their own, it's their decision. And they need to help their children become comfortable with it. But they need to claim their own life and their own lifestyle.
And I think that's an important thing to perhaps tell people that still have parents that are living independently to just mind your own business, right? And
right.
If you're, let your mom and dad do what they want to do.
Right. And there is always that, but what if? But that was always the case. Every time your mom and dad left the house, they could have been hit by a car. We all learn to live with risks, and you need to let your parents live with their risk again, as long as they are mentally and financially capable of making those decisions on their own behalf. It's their life, and it's their decision.
I think it's great. I have to tell you a funny story about a friend of mine that was just, he was just something else. He's passed away now, but he didn't, his kids didn't think he should be on the farm anymore. So they moved him into town into an assisted living place in Hastings here. And he still had a car. He still was out and about, and they could never get a hold of him. And we'll come to find out he had moved back to his house. He just was living there. And because his kids weren't around, it took them a really long time to figure out what had happened. But I thought, you know what? I love that story. Good for him.
And clearly this gentleman did not need assisted living.
He did not.
Even if he needed independent senior living,
right.
He certainly...
Anyway. No. So anyway, I thought that was such a cute story. And
Yeah. It's
kind of one where we just have to realize what we think is best is not best. The people have to decide what's best for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about aging in general. And when are we considered old?
Well, AARP accepts our membership at age 50.
Can I tell you, I thought that was a joke. I thought someone signed me up early.
No. You know, everyone wants to live a long time, and nobody wants to grow old. Well, you can't have it both
ways.
Oh,
you can't. Tell me more about this.
Well, this is just me giving you my opinion, Mo. I think that we baby boomers have transformed our culture every step of the way. We transformed school, we transformed child rearing, we transformed college, and I think now we're transforming aging. We're not the parents who, first of all, there's nothing I like more than to play cards, but we're not the parents, the older generation, that's content to play dominoes or shuffleboard. They're doing pickleball, for heaven's sakes.
At the senior center.
Exactly. And they're engaging in conversations and social engagement and working on social issues. And I think we boomers are going to redefine what it is to be 60, 70, and 80 years old and still contributing to our culture.
Absolutely. I know that you and I spoke about an article that I had sent you, and it's called Growing Older is Not Awful, but Ageism is. What is ageism?
Ageism is just like sexism, just like racism. It is an attitude or a series of actions based on one characteristic. And I think the answer to ageism is the same as it is for sexism and it's same as it is for racism. It ends when nobody is willing to put up with it anymore. When we hear someone making a inappropriate comment, whether it's about a person's race or gender or age, we just need to say, you know what, it's the 21st century. That's not acceptable anymore. And once no one is willing to put up with that, then it's got to stop. Maybe that's overly simplistic, but at least that's my challenge to myself, is to not put up with that.
I think that's fair. And in this article, it talks about, you know, people know that they're old, but you automatically then assume that somebody's useless or they're a burden to people or they're going downhill, they're out of date, they're expendable, they're so cute. You know, all of these patronizing statements too.
Right. I have a friend who now has moved to Rhode Island, I think, or New Hampshire, but she's still a mover and shaker. And she taught me that her motto, her expectation was meaningful work, paid or unpaid, right through my last breath. And she is now, she's in her early 90s, and she is the leader of creating an age-friendly America. And so they're fighting ageism, and they're looking for intergenerational communities throughout the United States so that older adults can bring their gifts to the generations that follow.
And how can we help to perpetuate positive things about ageism?
Well, I think that's up to us, first of all. Us, the older adults. Oh, my word, I just called myself an older adult. But I am. And in my family, the generations of my family, I am a member of the oldest generation still living in my family. So I need to understand that that isn't a burden I bear. It's a gift I offer. That as long as I can stay engaged in the lives of the generations following me, the more I can share with them what I've learned. And what I've learned isn't nothing. I've done the work-life balance. I've gone through being laid off and losing my job and almost losing the mortgage on the house. And that's a wisdom and it's a perspective that I can offer my family. Even though, yes, I want them to live their life, I can still offer counsel.
I think we forget about things like that sometimes, and we become so self-absorbed and think that, oh, this is happening to me. But when you think about the people that are older than us, obviously, that went through the Depression, or remember, you know, really when times were tough, you know, I think there's so many lessons to be learned from all of that. One of the things I know that is talked about in this specific article, and again, the article is called Growing Older is Not Awful, but Ageism Is. It's talking about keeping a positive attitude. And I think what you were saying about being engaged in life, finding things that interest you, finding it being around people that interest you, keeps you younger. And listen to this statistic. A positive attitude will, on average, give you an additional 7.5 years of living. What? That's incredible.
I'll take it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you see that out in the real world when you're working with people?
I do. I see that the people who want to get up in the morning, who want to go out and do it, who are out walking the streets now because the weather's getting nice and they want to be out there. And they're not just going for a hike and passing one another by, but they're going for a hike and standing on opposite sides of the streets and engaging one another in conversation and checking in with one another and sharing stories with one another. Those are the people who are going to keep right on going, not just because, yep, they're getting exercise, but because they're being engaged with the people around them. And that keeps us all positive.
Another thing that people are saying, and I think it applies to the friend that you just talked about, is to attempt to age with gusto. I kind of like that.
There is a program called Aging with Gusto, and it is a series of conversations about the different, whether we're talking about balance, or we're talking about community engagement, or we're talking about fighting diabetes. It's called Aging with Gusto, and it is a program offered by the Vital Aging Network, which serves the 7-county metro area. So perhaps people might want to do a Google search for the Vital Aging Network and find out when programs on Aging with Gusto are being offered. The Hastings Senior Center, before I retired, I took a series of classes at the Hastings Senior Center called the Aging Mastery Program. Now, I assume that is on hiatus because, you know, COVID, but I'm sure that that will be back. And that, again, was how to find meaning, how to be aware of your nutrition, how to take responsibility for your life and lifestyle and your finances and funeral arrangements. I mean, it really ran the gamut of things that we should all be looking at and then looking at again to make sure it's current. But it was informative and really connected me with other people in the community who were at the same stage of getting ready to retire. And so they became like another cadre of people I was connected with in Hastings.
And how has retirement been for you, Colleen? Because so much of what you did all your life and your career that I know of really was identified you as a person, kind of became part of your identity. How did you step away from that? How did you find your new self?
So while I really never thought I'd retire, Mo. I really thought I wanted to do work that mattered. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know that what I did impacted people's lives. And I was the volunteer coordinator for the Senior Linkage Line. So I was doing work that I knew mattered. And then the day came when the Senior Linkage Line found out about the Dementia Friends program. And they wanted to become a dementia-friendly workplace. And if any place is going to be dementia-friendly, it should be the Senior Linkage Line. Go figure. And I was chosen as one of the people to get the training in that. Because of my background in community engagement, they asked me if I would do that. And so I worked with a group of my coworkers to make the Senior Linkage Line a dementia-friendly workplace, and then knew that that's what I wanted to do. And so now I go anywhere, well, COVID, but once COVID, before COVID and hopefully after COVID, I would travel around the 7-county metro area leading Dementia Friends information sessions. And so that has become my passion, and it is my meaningful work, paid or unpaid, through my last breath.
And so for you, you're continuing on with your work, but a lot of people, when they retire, they don't have something like this. And so that can be detrimental, can't it?
Well, it can, but it doesn't have to be grandiose. My sister and her husband are best friends. And so they explore the world together. You can't name a Dakota County park or a state of Minnesota park or a national park that these people haven't been to in the last 20 years. So they both retired in their early 60s. They're both now in their mid 80s. But they were good friends who explored the world together and have a plethora of memories and photographs to maintain it. They didn't change the world. They had changed the world in their career. And they just spent the time enjoying their friendship and their travel experiences. That matters too.
So for everybody, it's just different what you, yes.
I think so.
You know, some people don't want to retire though.
I understand that. I loved what I was doing until I found out about Dementia Friends and then jumped ship to do this. But other than that, I had no intention of retiring.
So retiring doesn't mean rusting out.
Oh, heavens no. I think it means gearing up. I think it's refiring, not retiring.
I like that.
Oh, thanks.
I like that. I like it. Colleen, tell us a little bit more about what we should take away from this about aging and about ageism and just some words of wisdom.
Not sure that I here are my thoughts.
Okay.
Aging is going to happen to us whether we're prepared for it or not. So let's get prepared for it. Let's check out the Senior Center. Let's check out the Vital Aging Network. Let's find the experts on aging and pay attention to what they're saying and not just soak it in, but start an action plan. Let's be in charge of our aging journey for as long as we can. Yep, the day might come when we need other people to start making decisions for us. But if that's not today, let's not have that be today. And then as far as ageism, ageism ends when we create a new vision of aging. And so let's go do that. Let's be the dynamic aging generation so that we're changing it not just for us, but then can you imagine how those millennials will change aging as they get there? We're just creating a watercourse way and then they can keep broadening the banks.
Oh, great advice. Colleen Frisch, we love her. She is an aging advocate, and we really appreciate all the information you shared with us. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Hope being a friend. Travel down the road.